Tony would do graveyard shifts with me. I mean, Tony's part of the reason that I made major changes to life I was living, because he's dedicated so much time. Time he ain't going to get back. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's anything worse than time wasted. So Ain't just had to pay off for me in terms of me for my family, but also this man that's invested so much time into me and taken me under his wing. My hands are sore. I wake up in the morning, my hands are sore. Or my elbows are sore. You know, so for me to then go, I'll do that for another next six, seven years of my life. I want to be able to live after boxing. Yeah, I just thought like you rude boy. You know what I mean? You know, now I'm in the game, I think, yeah, me going to America and absolutely annihilating their champion, I think, cool, yeah, but it's the way he sets about him. It's the way he demands respect in the ring.
Hello and welcome to Boxing Life Stories with me, Tristix.
What happened in the ring after Tyson Oliver was child's play compared to that one?
I still get goosebumps to this day.
you couldn't take the tears from his eyes or the smile off his face, could you?
I know.
He's beating me. He said, well, let's pull him back.
And the paper, they made me look like Al Capone.
This is going to be your night.
There's winning and there's nothing else.
Hello and welcome back to Boxing Life Stories. I'm delighted to say this week I'm joined by Conor Benn, who is one of the hot properties in not just British boxing, but in world boxing. Conor and I have been talking about doing this for a while, and it really didn't disappoint. I know some people prefer the old fighters, some prefer the journalist episodes, but it's good to throw in some current fighters once in a while and speak to them while they're on their journeys to the top of the sport, which is where I'm sure Conor is going. Often with these guys, they're asked about a fight they've just had or what's next, and it's hard to get depth with that line of questioning, and usually it just results in the same old sound bites. So I was really happy to do this with Conor. I think it shows another side of him, and it's a side I'm more familiar with than the one we see on TV. I think we have a good chemistry, and of course this means I've spoken to Conor and Nigel, so I think it's the first father-son duo that we've had on the podcast. And if you haven't heard the interview I did with Nigel Benn, you can go back to episode 100. A reminder, guys, I am on Patreon, so if you'd like to support this podcast moving forward, you can go to patreon.com/Tristixon, where you get early access to all of these episodes, including upcoming episodes with former heavyweight champion Chris Bird and Conor Benn's stablemate John Ryder. If you can, please go to iTunes and rate and review this podcast, providing you enjoy it. I'd hugely appreciate that. And talking of appreciative, I'm hugely thankful and grateful to my sponsors, including Blaz, Lee Blasdell at Hanson Lee Resourcing. They were voted the UK's best specialist insurance sector recruitment firm at the Corporate Excellence Awards. Not only do Hanson Lee find you the best people, they'll help you retain them. And you can find out more at hansonlee.com. We're also brought to you by Delco Safety Compliance, and they're a leading provider of professional fire risk assessments and safety services nationwide, and they provide expert impartial advice on all aspects of fire, health and safety compliance, and you can find out more at delcosafety.co.uk. And now here's Conor Benn.
Let's go.
Great. So Conor, thanks for joining me, mate. I really appreciate it. You know, you're on the cusp of big things. You've already hit some big things already, but did you think you would get this far at the start?
No way. I mean, as sure as everyone else. I mean, I know confidence and delusional is a fine line. I think that's why I worked so hard, is because I just wanted to reach my full potential, not realising my full potential is winning a world title. And that's that, really. I just worked extremely hard to reach my full potential, not thinking about winning a world title, British, a European. It was just to be as good as I can be. And I didn't realise that me being as good as I can be is world level.
Did you have a label on it? Did you think, oh, Southern area or English?
No, I didn't think anything. I just thought, let's just roll with the punches. I mean, there weren't ever anything like that in terms of me being world champion or that dream, because I thought I was so far off and didn't think it was really achievable.
Did you underestimate what it would take to get to where you're at?
I thought it would have got easier, but it doesn't. It gets harder. But then at the same time, it getting harder, your body then becomes used to it. You mentally become used to the training. You mentally become used to preparing for the fight nights. The fight nights just become the norm. It becomes, you know, my reality, and it just becomes what you do. Like this hard, grueling training, it's just what I do. It's what I know. It's like as if I know no better.
What's been the biggest challenge getting to where you're at now?
The biggest challenge, in terms of boxing,
anything, mindset, boxing. I suppose
I'd probably say dealing with it all.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd probably say dealing with everything, because at the same time I'm boxing, I'm also dealing with life. Do you know what I mean? As a teenager. As a person who's left his family in Australia. So dealing with all that was probably the hardest thing, I suppose. There have been many a times where I've broken down in the gym to Tony, and Tony's had to throw a towel over my head and pull me in the office in front of everyone, just because I just couldn't deal. I struggled dealing with it. And it's funny because I now look back and realise, wow, like I can't believe I was like that. Do you know what I mean? But you, I'd probably say that was the hardest thing for me, was just dealing with everything. It was like there was so much going on in my life at the time.
With where you're at now and the sacrifices you've made, I know obviously we're only part way into the journey, but would you say it's been worth it so far?
Oh yeah, every day of the week, because now my son gets to watch Paw Patrol in the mansion. You know, so
I could watch Paw Patrol in a little bungalow somewhere.
It could, but it makes me feel good.
Yeah,
knowing that my son's going to have the best of what I had. So he's going to have everything I had and more, because when you have your own kids, you realize you don't want to make the same mistakes your parents made. So you try and adapt and
learn from them,
from my parents, how to be a better parent. So he's going to have the best of both worlds. You know, and this, I think that's very rewarding, as well as me having the nice luxuries of life, my wife having the nice luxuries of my, you know, the fruits of my labour.
Yeah, of course. What was the goal from boxing? When you went pro, did you want money, fame and that kind of stuff? Is that why you're here? Is that to sort of get rich, get out and live a nice life? Your dad was retired at 32, right?
I'd definitely be retiring before then.
Okay.
Definitely. Not because of the fine. I just don't think my body can do it. In terms of, like, I train so hard, and I can't stress how hard I train or how hard the Matchroom fighters train, the Matchroom stable, Tony Sims, gym train. You know, it's grueling, it's tough. You know, it's not sustainable for a long period of time.
Mm.
We train that hard. But, you know, while you're young, do it. But you can really sort of start to feel, you know, things in your body.
The pains, the niggles.
Yes, yeah. The niggles, yeah. Like, and I'm only, what, 25?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've been doing it 6 years, don't get me wrong. But when you start to learn how to punch and punch harder, and you're getting your man strength, your elbows start to get sore, your hands start to get sore, your back, your shoulders. So it all, you all just start to become... You can feel it. Do you know what I mean? Like my hands.
One tired, knotted ball of...
Yeah, exactly. You know the feeling. So when I used to play with my dog, I used to be able to play with it rough. I can't do that now because my hands.
Yeah.
My hands are sore. I wake up in the morning, my hands are sore. Or my elbows are sore. You know, so for me to then go, I'll do that for another next six, seven years of my life. I want to be able to live after boxing.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
You know.
By the way, where, you know, people talk about you being in Australia, certainly, but were you born over here in the UK?
I was born here in Greenwich. I lived here for the first 5, 6 years of my life, which I don't really remember.
Yep.
I then moved to Spain for 12 years, and then Australia, Sydney.
Which is, you're fluent in Spanish?
Fluent, yeah. I was in Novikov yesterday speaking fluent with someone in Spanish, a waiter there.
What a great skill that is to have.
It really is, and it really is a blessing.
Especially in this sport.
I don't use it much, so I've forgotten a lot of it. I can't say forgotten a lot of it. I can talk it, but it'd be the odd word. that I don't remember. And then it's like, oh yeah, I need to remember. I ain't spoken it for what? Oh, it's 12 years now, really.
Because you pulled it out in a press conference once, didn't you?
Yeah, I can, when I need to say something, I say it. Do you know what I mean? I find the words for it.
Great skill. So was that from going to Spain, from going to school in Spain?
No, it wasn't going from school. It was more so my friends. Mm. Don't get me wrong, I can read and write in Spanish. But I didn't really learn it from school.
Right.
It was more so...
practical knowledge.
Yeah,
practical.
All my friends were South American. So when I go to mainland Spain, they speak completely different to how I speak it.
Right.
But then also you've got so many different dialects in, you know, in South America, the, you know, the Ecuadors, Argentinians, the Venezuelan, they all speak it so different. Do you know what I mean? But
so can you pick it out? Can you? Can,
oh, I could definitely tell who's from what part.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, you guess could not understand a word that come out of his mouth. Not a word. I know, and Cubans are just different gravy of talking. Like they're I don't even know. It's like a different language. Start speaking someone who's Scottish.
Yeah.
Maybe even a bit stronger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool. So, did you enjoy Spain?
I did. I did enjoy Spain. In what way?
Like life there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, it was all right.
Did you prefer Australia?
I feel like... I don't know. My upbringing is very weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's very weird, my upbringing. In terms of, like, when I went to school in Australia, you got to remember I moved at, like, 15. Yeah, 16. So it was like such a different way of living. And then I went to a private homeschooling, sort of, there's only 30 kids in this private homeschool in Spain that I went to, which was a different curricular system. Then when I went to Australia, it was a private school, but it had a whole completely different system that I couldn't come to, that I couldn't wrap my head around. And then the culture was so different. So it was, I never got attached to anyone anywhere.
Right.
I don't really speak to anyone from Australia. I don't speak to anyone from Spain.
And you freaked out by spiders.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
That's coming. Is that, your mate, dad passed that on to you?
He did, unfortunately. And I'm trying my hardest not to do it in front of my son because I don't want my son to ever be scared of anything.
You
want to
break the cycle.
Yeah, I want to break the cycle. But he's like... my dad's bad, but I'm bad, bad. Like,
so did you see any bad ones? Huntsmen?
I was doing painting and decorating in one, that's what I used to do. And there was a huntsman on the outside of someone's house, but I just painted the whole wall. Yeah, so what I've done then is I've got a hose. Yeah, imagine how that played out. And I've got paint's gone everywhere. And I just sort of sat down a minute and thought, what have I just done? But I was in like such a trance. I was too busy trying to get the spider. I didn't realise the paint going everywhere. And then it was only a baby one, but I'm thinking, mate, there's mum somewhere around there, you know. There is the mum and plenty more of them around here. And then one day I was walking upstairs at about midnight upstairs, and you know you've got the coving in a wall. You've got the corner, and you've got the coving that goes along. There was a shadow in the middle while I'm walking up the stairs in the corner of my eye, and I'm thinking that sort of shadow should only be in the corner of the room. I've walked up and, mate, I quickly walked up the stairs before I looked back because I thought I knew what I saw. And then I see, I'm welling up now thinking about it. Mate, it's the biggest huntsman I've ever seen in my life. So I've screamed so loud and then I woke everyone up in the house. Dad's come out like, what? Like, who have I got to fill in? And then he's come out and I went, mate. And he was like, oh my word. So he got the mop out and then he didn't even come near it. So he got the mop out and then he threw the mop at the thing. And then I know this can be sound to animal lovers, but then it fell and then he's got picked the mop up and went whack on the spider. Mate, see a leg come flying up in the air and I just thought like, oh mate, I just thought this is my cue to leave Australia. And then I left.
Just looking at your tats there, what was the first tat you got? Was one over here? Were they in Australia?
No, this was the first one. I was 16 when I had that done. And it's my date of birth in Roman numerals with a C and an I because my twin sister's India and obviously I'm Connor, so we got the CNI link together. And that's my first one that I had here in Newcastle when we lived in, when we left Spain.
Are you still here. Getting more? Are you a work in progress?
I have faith written on the back of my head,
yeah,
which is a new one. I was always conscious about my toes in case I had to go back to a 9-to-5. Which, well, not that I ever would have gone back to a 9-to-5, I would have done my own thing. But I'm now getting to a stage where it's like, you know, it's my look, it's my image.
Yeah.
If endorsements or brands don't want to work with me because of my toes, then it's not fitting for me.
Have you got any controversial ones?
I have a gun.
Okay.
On my stomach, which people go, knife and gun crime is quite high, but it has a rose coming out of it, which is anti-gun crime. So outside the where the shooter is, it has a rose coming out of it, which is anti-gun crime. I had NWA on me.
Okay.
Which I had covered up.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. I was like 17. And that's it, really.
You know, obviously talking about some sort of, I suppose you could class that as sort of tearaway stuff. Did you ever think of it? You mentioned the painting and decorating stuff. Did you ever think about joining the army? Was that ever a thing?
Yes. Yes. How do you know?
Well, only because I re-listened back to the podcast I did with your dad.
Yeah.
And we obviously talked about how the army shaped him, and obviously that's been a well-worn thing with him being in the Fusiliers. So obviously, you know, obviously I kind of thought that boxing, getting it to the age where you got to, it wasn't the first choice. So then I think of the choices, painter, decorator, maybe...
The choice was when I was here.
Okay.
That is so funny. So I didn't know if you had, I don't know how you would have known. But anyway, I applied for the Army Cadets to see how I would have got on, because when I had my injury, my broken jaw, by the way, there's been many times where I've gone, boxing ain't for me. Like many times where I've gone, that's it, not fighting. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, I just had so much going on in my life and the pressure and the, I just thought, I don't need this in my life. I don't need none of it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm just going to put myself away from all that and do something challenging. So I always like being challenged, whatever it is. So I did apply. There was someone I was speaking to in the military, and then Tony's going to me, nah mate, what are you doing? Like, bro, my dad's going mad at me as well. He's going, and my dad was very concerned about me going into the army because it isn't like what it used to be, in his words.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? The army ain't like what it used to be. But it was always something that I wanted to do. And then obviously I was with my missus at the time as well. And I'm not sure how she felt about it. Because when I go and do something, I do it. And I'm all in. No, it's just a character trait that I have. And you always hear my dad speaking about the army, that it gave him that mindset, that routine, which he still follows now to this day. That hardness, so to speak. And I believe you can't go wrong with that mentality.
Mm.
And I know my dad was very firm on me growing up, probably be less firm on my son, but the main principles will still stand. Do you know what I mean? But then you may as well say the training we do now is very military.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? I'm up at R5 running, doing the nutrition, sparring, resting. You know, I love...
Out in all weathers.
Yeah, yeah. Don't really matter what the weather is.
So yeah. You're a prime candidate for SAS Who Dares Wins, aren't you? Would you do that?
They wanted me on the... I was supposed to be going on the show.
Oh, really?
So okay. The fight... Which fight was it? It was after Formella. I think it was for the Vargas camp. They wanted me to... Well, we was
get on
ready
it.
To go. Tony's gone, nah, mate, you having a laugh. I've gone fair. Do you know what I mean?
He's but the governor.
Yeah, I've gone fair. Do you know what I mean? He's gone about injuries and all that. And I've gone... Tony obviously saw this vision from day one. See, any other fighter... There's been a loads of other opportunities, by the way, for me to make more money or become famous. I've just done that. What do you call it?
Inverted commas, yeah.
Yeah, I've just done that, you know, like famous as in...
Given, not earned.
Yes, yes. That's exactly... You took the words right out of my mouth. it literally just like read my mind. But yeah, give and not earn, which I'm not interested in, but you know, many other people, many other fighters would have done that. I'm not really in it for that. I like the thought of SES because it's the challenge, it's the, I want to know if I can do it.
Sure. Which kind of goes back to the army thing in the first place. Yeah. It was really to sort of discover that part of you, right?
Yeah, like when your life's on the line, what sort of person are you?
How do you react?
How do you react when your life is on the line? And I know it's a really horrible thought. And, you know, I know there's many people out there in war who have lost their lives. I know there's many people out there who would now, if they could go back, not choose that decision of making a decision of going in the army. So I did think about all of that. I still think it's something I was still chosen to do. Yeah. And I feel like I may regret it later on in life that I didn't.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, only you will be able to say that. But yeah, I mean, maybe it will be an itch that you wanted to scratch. But obviously, I suppose your goals are so different now, though. Obviously, you might have regretted not doing it at the time. But like, if you're living a nice life with wife, kids.
I'm living a nice life. But like, it was just something where it's like, I always wanted, before I had a missus and a baby, my dream was to have a 9/11, which I have. But I have a 9/11 in a penthouse apartment overlooking the beach. I was driving down Southend. I know it's not quite a beach, but I was driving down Southend and they've got these new builds. And I was like, I would love to have owned one of them. Penthouse. My missus don't like heights, so that's definitely game over. But that was a dream. Yeah. And not that I regret it, because I've got a beautiful life now with my family and a nice home. But that was a dream.
Yeah.
It was like, now the me going into the army thing, so far gone.
Yeah, right.
You know, now with my baby and my missus, and they're so far gone. So I'm just all about, but then again, later on in life, I may go, cool, like, we seem really comfortable here and I made the right decision.
Yeah, of course. You know? That's kind of what I was getting at. Hey, so why did you choose the boxing life? And you chose it when you were in Australia.
Yeah.
So that's when you started to get cracking, yeah. Right? So what was the decision to go to the gym? Right, I'm going to do this because what?
Exactly. I don't know. I didn't know what the ABAs were. Right. None of my friends fought. I actually can't even remember the conversation going to my dad, I'm going to go down the gym. I can't even remember the conversation.
You just went?
I just went. And I had 20 amateur fights in a year. So what people don't know is I had 20 amateur fights in a year. So that was 17 to 18, I had all my amateur fights. 18 to 19, I had no amateur fights. 19, I turned pro. So I didn't box for a year, whole year. And then I come here and then I turned pro.
So if it wasn't for the boxing, would you have stayed in Australia?
Highly likely.
So you came here for the
boxing? I would have.
You would have?
I would have, yeah.
And what would you have done, painting and decorating?
I thought I was very ambitious, but I also liked earning my own money.
Yeah.
So I'd done what I would have had to have done at the time. I worked in retail in Australia. I lied on my resume. Said I worked in Topshop in England, which I didn't. And then when a lady came to, the manager was there, and watching me try and fold up this t-shirt was just so funny, but I'd already got the job. Mate, it was so terrible. And I see her looking at me.
Cube,
yeah. It was, I ain't no better now either, but it was so funny. And then obviously that job weren't for me. Then I went into painting and decorating and done some scaffolding. In the meantime, I was doing my certificate 3-4, my master's degree in fitness. Right. So eventually I think I would have opened my own gym.
Did you enjoy the amateur fights? Did you like your amateur stuff?
Mate, it was just like, I just went in there and had a fight. Like, it weren't really much. I just fought. Do you know what? I really can't say, because there should have been no, I shouldn't have fought. Like, there was no, I wasn't a fighter. I wasn't raised to fight. I don't even know what happened, to be honest. It's all about a blur in my life. Like, how, and I look back and I think, how on earth did I get it? I remember I trained really hard.
It's not even that long ago.
No, I know. But so much has happened in my life since then.
Sure.
Yeah, when I don't remember people's names, or when I don't, or when I forget to do this or don't do that, it's not because I'm ignorant or I'm rude. It's because so much has happened in my life in such a short period. Like, I mean, mate, it's just, I can't believe it. My life just like changes every 6 months so drastically in any way, shape or form, whether it's moving house, which people do once every 20 years, whether it's getting a new dog, which another dog, which I pick up today, whether it's having a baby, whether it's meeting my missus, whether it's a new car, whether it's, you know, financially
it's
different.
It's all big stuff.
It's all big moves. And when I realise people have like a goal for like 5 years and they do one thing in that 5 years, that's that. Mine seems to be every 6 months.
Do you like that? Or do you just want to chill out?
I like it, but I feel like I need to slow down.
Yeah.
Because I like, as always, I always, again, I always challenge myself in life as well. Do you know what I mean? So, like, we've just moved into our new house on Monday. I've just picking up this dog later on today. Massive dog, security dog. And when we're moving on Monday, but I've got a baby. And then I'm like, and then I'm going back into camp. And then it's like, and then I'm like,
but
it's like, I must like that. Clearly it must.
You're inviting it on yourself.
Yeah, but I do it all the time. Me and Vic, we've been in our house for a year and a half. When Eddie dropped me back, when we come back from one of the fight nights, he's gone to me. I've gone to him, yeah, I reckon I'll be here for the next 5-6 years. And he's gone, no, you won't, mate. And then we went to go view a house a couple of weeks later, and I went, Ed, just bought a new house, mate. and then now I'm looking at another houses already. And I went to Tony yesterday, I went, mate, is this normal? Where does it stop?
Yeah.
Where does it stop? Because the novelty wears off really quick on everything, on cars, watches. I don't even get, like, it's just mad. It's just like, where does it stop? And Tony's like, don't ever stop.
Well, I kind of spoken to some guys about this on the podcast before. It's about either chasing happiness, which is chasing the buzz, or chasing contentment, which is chasing the place where you can just be, where you can find peace. It's a tough thing, especially when you're younger. And I'm not saying that in a patronising way. I think probably when I was sort of your age, I was probably chasing this. I wanted to be the editor of Boxing News. I wanted the next job. I wanted to get to the top and all the rest of it. And then when you get there, it's kind of, you know, people talk about the journey and the destination, don't they?
Yeah.
The journey is the reward.
Yeah.
But it depends on, you know, people aren't always ready for the destination. And if the destination comes too early, they're not ready to enjoy it.
Of course.
So you get back on the journey.
Well, I've definitely learned that. I mean, there was definitely a time in my life where I lost myself. Do you know what I mean? And I had to find myself again. And I may not be, you may not see it, but I definitely lost myself. Do you know what I mean? In terms of what was important to me, in terms of the way I've been raised, in terms of decisions I make. Do you know what I mean? But you now become, well, now you, when you get come through that, you now find out what's really important. And I really do think it is happiness. Do you know what I mean? And not in materialistic things. Do you know what I mean? It is nice. But when you realise that there's so much more to it, and it really doesn't end. Do you know what I mean? There is no end to, and then again, I'm saying this, people are listening to this going, oh yeah, that's only because you got it. Because that's what I used to say to my dad. He'd go, money don't bring happiness. I'm like, yeah, all right, mate. Like, that's only because you got it. But the reality is it never ends, because the wealthier you become, the more wealthier people you meet. And then they have that, and then you aspire to that. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yeah, like, and your circles change and you surround you.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I get that. And it's not a bad thing to be driven and to be ambitious and to be able to and to want those things. Because obviously your want as well is to provide a better life for your wife.
But what is a better life? Because I still feel like really now everything they have is excessive.
Yeah, I suppose what you mean, I suppose you want to maximise what you can give your children, don't you?
But even if
you've got all they could need now, you want to maximise. But I suppose, yeah, but where does it
stop? But then would I want my son? Because my dad done so well with me in terms of being spoiled, in terms of being silver spooned. Whereas when I look at my other siblings, they've got it so good, but they don't realise how good they've got it. And it's really funny because I was always aware that what my dad had we get to have the luxury of, but it's my dad's. And I'm glad he drew that line with me and made me realise I'm not entitled to nothing.
Mm.
This generation is the, you know, it's the generation of the entitled.
Yeah.
You know, so do I want to leave my son 3-4 mil in the bank, 5 mil in the bank? Do I really? Not really.
Yeah, so he can just kick around.
So he can just do nothing with his life. So he can just doss around and really be the silver spoon child people think I am. No, I'm not sure. So it's like, where do you draw the line? I feel like that's very excessive. Because either way, if I leave him the money and he'll either have the drive to make that money himself or he'll waste mine.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of those things, right? What will be his motivation in life? Will it be to be his own man, or will it be to be Connor's son? And he'll have to make that choice at some point.
Yeah, and I hope the way I raise him, I hope the way we raise him is to be his own.
Yeah.
He can live the most luxurious life being my son. Do you know what I mean? But that comes to a point. Do you know what I mean? I didn't have to scaffold. I didn't have to work in retail. I didn't have to paint and decorate. But I did.
It does sound like you made the best career move in terms of how dodgy you're painting and decorating and you're folding the t-shirts. Yeah. Was your dad behind you boxing from the start?
He never used to come to my amateur fights, as in I never used to let him.
Wow. He wanted to come, but you said no.
Don't mind, my dad's relationship was quite rocky then.
Okay.
I mean, we never really got on at all, to be honest.
I did not know that.
Okay. Oh yeah, me and my dad didn't get on from young.
What, too similar?
No, too just good. Like, I didn't understand why he was so hard on me. And when I mean firm, I mean really firm, but he was very firm and religious.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. Do you know what I mean? That I had to have counselling and, you know, and it's mad because I now realise why I am the way I am now, but I feel like only the past year I've sort of found out who I am.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because so much happened in a period of my life from young, which troubled me, to then me coming here and then being Conor Benn. Sure. I didn't have time to find myself. Yeah. I didn't have time to really get to know me.
Your dad has a lot of demons. Have some of them overlapped onto you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So, and it's fine because now, I mean, this was, you got to remember, this, our relationship, I wasn't good before. I am now in the spotlight, now in the same industry. I get it. I get the temptations.
Yeah.
I get the demons. I get what you had to go through. I understand. And do you know what? I love you, Dad, for being the man that you are. Do you know what I mean? I love it. And I understand now because I seem to now battle them demons myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't because I can't relate because I can't imagine what it's like, but I know what you mean, yeah.
So I can't go to my dad. I can't turn my nose up at my dad for his mistakes. We all make mistakes.
Mm.
You know, so, and it's so upsetting to me because then now I'm like, oh, I wish I knew this when I was younger so I could actually have enjoyed being my dad's son while I was at home instead of us clashing heads all the time. So that's a massive regret of mine. You know, so it's like life's just a funny thing, man, because it's like I wish I knew what I knew now because then I would have actually got, me and my dad would have actually had a relationship. Now we want a relationship. Now we have a relationship. He's all the way in Australia.
You think you were too young to take on that understanding? Or do you
yes.
Think,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I remember saying to Dad when I was like 13, I was like, Dad, you broke my heart. Do you know what I mean? And me having my own son, I could never imagine my own son saying that to me.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, and I remember just saying, you broke my heart. Like, I was crying, obviously, and, you know, it was hard. My upbringing was very, I'd probably say I got like the brunt of it.
Yeah, because your dad is an old school dude, obviously, so I guess it was pretty brutal in times.
Yeah, definitely, but I understand it was all out of love. And then obviously he had his own frustrations, which he had his own issues, which would, I had to get the brunt of, I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
I think I was the second. So my dad died in 2012, and he was an old dad. So he was 78 when he died, and there was a big age gap between us. So I had a very sort of old school upbringing. Yeah. Where there wasn't much affection between us, because it wasn't normal for dads to be that way, to show their affection. But if you put a foot out of line,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but you know, for me, that's not something I've done, but it's something I also wouldn't discourage, because you certainly learn right from wrong very quickly.
Very quickly. But I would say more so mentally as well. It was mentally hard for me. I wouldn't say I'd say mentally it was hard. I feel like I definitely struggled as a kid.
Have you had counselling over here?
I have, yeah.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You must find that really beneficial.
I definitely do, because there's so much going on in my life. I don't understand why I'm feeling the way. I don't understand why I didn't. I do now. But I've had to make so many mistakes for me to realise.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But
given where you're at and the career that you're having, and your people haven't seen many of your mistakes. You refer to making a lot of mistakes. Apart from any mistakes you've made in the ring, everyone's rinsed you on it from day one.
Yeah, well, it's not just a specific thing. It's decisions. It's the way I've dealt with things.
Right.
It's people I've met. It's financially mistakes I've made. It's mistakes people make in their whole life, or takes a long life to learn. I've learned in a very short period. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, you have social media. You have. And there's decisions I made that, you know, I'm not happy with, but there's also decisions that I'm really happy with. It's always as if my life's like on speed trajectory.
Yeah, someone's pressed the fast forward.
Yeah, yeah, and it really is. And it's like, you know.
Especially when you add kids into that mix as well, because time just starts to fly as well.
Yeah, it's just so quick, man. What's happened in my life now? I'm a dad. Do you know what I mean? I mean, what?
Are you enjoying this ride?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I am indeed, yeah. Just a lot of life. Do you know what I mean? A lot of life living.
I also suppose that's a bit of an unfair question, because who in a regular life, assuming we're all living regular lives, has a 10 out of 10 day every day? No one does. So I suppose they're good days and bad days.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I do have my good days, bad days. You know, like everyone else. But I'm expected to have a 10-10 day every day by the public.
And by social media. And, all
and by social
it.
Media.
Hey, early fights, when you... did you feel like you were getting to grips with professional boxing in like the first 6 or 8 fights? Were you thinking like... Was there any point where you're thinking, okay, I might have something here?
No. No, not really, no. No.
And then obviously came the Pano fight, which was, I think, fight number 10, which basically people just wrote you off.
I lost all confidence.
You lost confidence.
I lost all confidence.
Was that because of the fight or because of the reaction or a combination?
All three.
Yeah.
All of it. There was loads that went on around that period as well. Do you know what I mean? That you learn from, man. You, again, mistakes. Do you know what I mean? When I'm referring to mistakes, I'm not just talking about bad decisions in my personal life or bad decisions I'm talking overall. When I say to you I made a lifetime worth of mistakes, you're going, they're well masked. Well, they're not really. Do you know what I mean? Because that showed. Do you know what I mean? And made bad decisions leading up to the fight, bad decisions on the night of the fight, bad decisions
during the fight.
Bad decisions after the fight. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not talking like, oh, you know, that's it. You know, it's all well. No, that's an example. You know, the way I dealt with it. You know, leading up to the fight, the way I dealt with it leading up to the fight. I thought, yeah, this guy's a bum. Looked at his record. I thought, yeah, all right, lovely little payday before I go to Miami, ready to go afterwards. And that was my fault. I thought, yeah, they're presenting. I said that I didn't want to fight anyway because I'd just come back from New York. I put on a stone and a half out in New York within 4 days. I come back, I had to lose the weight, I had a 3-day media requirement with Reebok. had to shed the weight within a week and a half, and then fought, and then I was like, yeah, lovely. I had my mate ready to celebrate afterwards, and then there you go. That's what happened.
Which I suppose is part of the reason why we see what we see now in terms of the professionalism, staying in camps, staying in shape between fights, living the life.
Yeah, that's. But then again, you learn from your mistakes. So that's just one mistake that, you know, almost cost me my undefeated record.
What happened in 2019 or 2020 that clicked for you? That makes us see the fighter that struggled against Pano and beat him in the rematch more convincingly, to the guy who swept away, like the guys from Jamoy onwards. Like what clicked? Is it something in the gym, or was it that learning that lesson?
A light bulb moment.
Can you picture where it was?
I can't. Just major decisions. Major decisions changing my life, and, you know, proving to myself I made the right decision.
To make boxing a priority for the time being, or to live that, make that life a priority.
It was all fun and games at first. It weren't like, when I first turned pro, it was all fun and games. It weren't nothing serious. It weren't like, oh my God, I'm going to be world champion.
What was it? Was it like, I'm going to milk this and see how it goes, or just give it a shot?
Yes. Both. Some days I wake up feeling, you know, driving my nice CLA, you know, getting paid right, boxing at the O2, pretty sick. I'm 19. Yeah, I'm 20 years old. 19 years old. It's pretty cool. Yeah. So let's see how far I go.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you can obviously see the mindset. You can see the change.
Yeah.
Obviously. So, but there wasn't a moment or a bit of advice, or you can't distill it to somewhere in 2019, 2020, where you think, right, this is. There wasn't one sort of moment. It was a gradual metamorphosis into the life that you're leading now.
It's just been gradual. Well, I say gradual, but it hasn't really, because it's sort of just gone up.
But you sucked into the gym life. That's got to be a big part of it, of wanting to be in the gym.
I'm always in the gym.
Being around Tony and being around the guys.
Yeah, I'm always in the gym. I'm always working on, just always working on bettering myself. It's only probably from the Formella fight for me was where it was like, yeah, I can be world champion. That was for me where I was like, yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, and that's now giving you a different drive, more confidence, belief in the ambition.
From the Pano fight, I've only started to get my confidence the last, like, fully. Like, I'm 100% confident the last four fights. Before that, I wasn't, it took me so long to build my confidence up.
What was the worst thing you read about yourself after that? Do you remember?
Nah, loads of stuff. I don't know. It would have just had its
blanket effect of just, or negativity.
Yes, a blanket effect. Yeah, it would have just had its. I definitely weren't in a good place. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that at a young age?
In an age where, unless you choose not to be on social media, it's right.
Which I'm not now. Well. I'm not on social media. I don't have it on my phone now. I haven't been on my phone for about 2 years.
That's a big part of it. It's a shame.
My screen time was 20 minutes yesterday.
It's a shame that it comes to that, but I understand how it is if you're trying to be positive and stuff and you can't.
I definitely struggled with it, with social media. 1,000,000% struggled with it. But it's like, mistake. Do you know what I mean? Letting social media get to me, letting people affect me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, why? Why am I allowing that? One of the biggest mistakes of my life, that was. Why am I allowing that? Allowing someone to come in my room, give me a slap, and walk out, do nothing about it. Or allowing someone who's sitting in a dive, in, you know,
change your day,
change
your
my day, or change how my attitude is towards my missus, or change how I go to the gym. Biggest mistake of my life, having it on my phone. I don't have it on my phone.
Fair one. Hey, we talked a few weeks ago, before the Van Heerden fight, about a couple of your dad's fights. Have you gone back and watched the archive? Have you gone through them all?
Not now, no. No, but I might do later on, because actually I haven't for a very, very long time.
Have you seen them all?
I have done,
you've seen everything that you can see of him?
Yeah, the main ones.
Have you got a favourite?
I'd probably say Anthony Logan. Early doors.
What do you think of him going to America and doing what he did, bashing up the Americans? You love that?
Yeah, I just thought like you rude boy. You know what I mean? Now I'm in the game, I think, yeah, me going to America and absolutely annihilating their champion, I think, cool, yeah, like, but it's the way he sets about him. It's the way he demands respect in the ring. It's the way he has a presence when he walks in the ring and he, you know you're in for another night.
He didn't put any of those guys on a pedestal. He was like, you got two arms, two legs, same as me.
That's my approach.
Yeah.
That really is. I don't...
But that's what you need. I think that's what you need. You can't put these guys on a pedestal, right? You can give them respect.
Give them respect. But then again, I don't know if there's... I mean, you can respect someone's accomplishments. But as far as that goes, that's as far as my respect goes, is what you've achieved. Apart from that, I ain't really... respect guys, you know, starts and stops there.
What do you make of his rivalry with Eubank? Obviously, we're years and years removed from it now. Does it make you chuckle, or do you think that was serious
stuff? No, it was serious.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, it was serious, because they're doing the tour now and they're like...
There's something there,
something, yeah.
In the basement.
There's definitely something there, 1,000,000%. I won't go as far as basement. I'll probably say, you know, middle ground.
The mezzanine.
Yeah. It's still there. Yeah. Like, I can. It definitely is genuine. Because, like, you'd have my dad on the phone to me going, you know, how much is this having a toll?
Just ranting.
Yeah.
And then you and Chris Jr. have fired a few softballs at each other. You're interested in a fight with him?
I believe they are as well. I believe there were talks. That fight was always there.
I spoke to him. So you've been cool with him in the past. Like, you've been down to the gym and stuff and done some pictures with him back in the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's ever been... I mean...
It's not a grudge.
Not a grudge. I mean, he always tries to give me a firm handshake. I just think, mate, like, I have a day off. Do you know what I mean? Tries to crush me hand and all that. I'm like, yeah, have a day off, mate. Do you know what I mean? But he's all right. Like, he's like his dad, isn't he? I'd say he's really like his dad.
It could turn into a grudge. Could be massive. You and him could be massive.
Listen, the fight's always there. Do you know what I mean? You know, I put on £20 after my last fight.
How highly do you rate him?
Junior.
Yes.
I don't know. He's an odd one, because he's like... He's obviously got something, but I don't know. I mean, he's all right.
Do you respect his struggle and hustle, given the background he's had?
Don't know. He seems to have a completely different approach to me.
Exactly. That's kind of why I'm asking that question.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean. You got to respect any fighter, but as far as his motives or drive, or it's completely different to mine. You know, you got to respect every fighter and rate every fighter's hustle. He works hard, and that's that.
Yeah, with hindsight, he might have done things differently if he could do them again. In terms of your boxing journey so far, would you do anything differently?
No, I mean, I got offered to fight for the IBO world title against Algeria. We turned that down. You know, whereas it's just different. Whereas he wanted to fight Renault Quinlan for the IBL world title, whereas I turned down Adjuri for the IBL. You know, so I could have won that title and I had a claim of one world champion. You know, so, you know, I wanted to keep my rankings in the other governing bodies and get one of them instead.
Tell me about your relationship with Harley and how that's worked over the years.
It was challenging early on. Not from my part, I don't think. But obviously, there was a lot of demons that he had to deal with. You know, and we both come of age where... We're from two different upbringings, sure, so to speak, in terms of my mum and his mum. So you don't know what your child, you don't know who's being fed what. So all you know is what you've been told.
Yeah.
So there was definitely friction between us, but we're sweet now. We speak, you know, every couple of days, few days. Your last advice on boxing, we chat now.
Is he going to fight again?
Yeah, he's going to fight again. I believe he's fighting June time.
Did you have to get in the middle of, or did you feel like you were in the middle of him and your dad?
I can, if I was him, I would feel like I would have hated me too. I would have hated him if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you can't blame him. But the reality is should have really never, ever been no beef between me and my brother.
Mm.
Because it's got nothing to do with us.
Sure.
You know?
Your brothers.
We're brothers. But at the end of the day, it took ages to come to that when we come of age. But, you know, it's to be expected.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we're close now and... And, you know, that's that. But we had our back and forths loads. But it was, again, I struggled to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There was mistakes I made in that situation, which I didn't know how to deal with because I was here on my own. But I had to deal with the situation. There's almost times where we've almost had it out. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, that's a massive mistake I made. How could I ever think of laying a hand on my brother? Do you know what I mean? So you...
And also, because it's hard to talk about it, but it's also hard to imagine that you were so young at the time as well, because that was a lot to put on your plate, both of you, really.
Well, I had to deal with it. Going, I'm here.
Because you're the same age, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, he's 4 days older.
Yeah.
So it's hard dealing with all that. Mate, yeah.
Yeah, so challenging.
If I was with my family, it may have been a bit different, but it's like I've lived a lot of life without them here.
Yeah. And obviously that was one of the huge choices you made, leaving everyone.
Yeah. And it's got to a stage now where this has to pay off.
Yeah.
When Van Heerden was talking, like, I've lost my dad and the sacrifice has to pay off. That's my worst fear. Because I don't know if I can live with myself. If something ever happened to my family and I was here, you know, that's probably like the hardest thing. So touch wood, it done. But that would be very hard.
Before the Van Heerden fight, and I'll apologise now for bringing it up back then, we talked about the McClellan fight, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you did say, maybe quite rightly pulled me on and said, I don't really want to do this before one of your fights, and I get that. But I did find your answers, like when we talked about that, interesting. First, like when you look at that fight, have you've seen it in its entirety? Have you watched it with your dad?
No.
Do you think he could watch it with you?
I think so, yeah. I think you would.
Are you worried about having a fight like that?
As a fighter, I don't really think about it. When I think about it, it makes me not want to fight. Because I have my son, I have my wife that don't need any more than they've already got. So it's like, when I think like that, I think, yeah, I'm just going to sack the boxing off. Because what's the point when I've got my family, I've got life, I've got a life, you know? So I don't think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I trust God. But most of all, I do what I can in my hands to control that in terms of weight cut. I don't mess around when it comes to the weight cut at all. But for that reason, so I do what I can in my power to control that.
Yeah. That fight, can you watch it as a fight or do you watch it as a tragedy unfolding?
A bit of both. I watch it a bit of both, yeah.
So you don't get the sort of raw enjoyment out of it as a fight though, knowing what happened? And that, I don't mean that to be like a...
No, I know what you're saying.
I mean, some fight fans will be able to maybe... Some fight fans still call it one of the greatest fights in this country ever. Some people won't even put it on the list because of what happened.
I would... That's why when you ask me the question, what's the greatest fight, my dad, I would say that, but I can't say that because it's... How can I say that?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Imagine if that was me. Imagine if I'm sitting here talking to you now and the next minute I'm paralysed. Can't talk and I'm in a coma. and I've got a wife and kids.
Or you've done it to someone else and you've got to live with that.
But then I'd hope you'd say that that fight wasn't the best fight of all time.
Sure. Hey, so Canelo's got this slogan, no boxing, no life.
Yeah.
You're kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, life comes before boxing for you.
It does. It does.
Boxing is a healthy thing to have. Like when you see so many fighters retire and they're struggling because they lose the boxing, it's generally because they don't appreciate and want to go to the next stage. But you're kind of, I think it's clear, like you're doing this to make the next stage of your life better, right?
The next stage of my life will always be good with or without boxing. But I fight because I want to be the best fighter in the world. I want to be number one. For me to just say I'm the best fighter in the world. I'm saying about that, you know, and I think that's really what it is about now. Don't get me wrong, financially, I'm okay. Do you know what I mean? I'm good. And I'll always go to doing PT after the career's said and done anyway.
You think you'll stay in boxing in some way, shape or form?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if I've got the patience
to train or manage or whatever. What about media? You're quite good at the media stuff.
I will probably go more into media. I enjoy media work. I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy learning about it.
You know, we mentioned, obviously, it's Eli, your son, isn't it?
He is.
And your wife as well. How long have you been married?
You put me on the spot. That's the hardest question. Yeah, I know. A few years.
What was your first date? Do you remember?
Domino's on the high street. It's quite a blur because we were friends for ages, but obviously we like had feelings, but we can't. There was never really a set date.
Okay.
Our first time we had a meal together was in my car. I picked up Domino's from the high street.
And you knew then?
I knew then she was the one.
But obviously you come across, and I know we touched upon social media, but you come across as a super family-orientated guy. Like, you've obviously just been away in pictures of your family in Paris and all the rest of it. When I did speak to your dad for this podcast, his biggest regret was not being the husband that he wanted to be with hindsight. Now you come across as this super family orientated guy. That, for me, from the outside looking in, is the biggest lesson that you've learned of trying to be someone, to be where, you know, to do what your dad didn't do.
Exactly. It's hard, especially when, you know, you have kids. I think then the kids become easily affected of your decisions and your actions, as I was. You know, so really when you have kids, I think for me it's, I don't want to replay out what happened with my dad. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But then again, I understand the temptations, I understand how easy it is, I understand how being in the spotlight, being an athlete, being young, having money, the challenge is real. Do you know what I mean? And that's where I can go, Dad. You know what? I understand, mate. And I'm glad I can speak to you about it. Someone who knows everything about that sort of world and that industry is my dad. He's been there, seen it, done it all.
Because what we see from the outside looking in is just a tight family unit.
Yeah.
We see.
I'd say me and my family are close.
You see the patriarch of your dad. We see you and your wife, and then we see your son, and like it looks like one really tight unit. And obviously now Harley's on board as well, which is great, because obviously it's been a hell of a journey. That's been the journey, isn't it?
Really? Well, it is. Exactly. There's so much that I look back and I go, wow, there's been so much I've had to come through. There's been so much life I've had to live.
Yeah.
To get to where I am now, by the way. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't just, oh, here I am. I've not had to go through nothing. I've had to go through a lot.
Kids come from Australia and just hit the lottery.
Exactly. That's how it looks. Does it not look like that?
I know it does.
But, mate, I've had to go through so much life. Do you know what I mean? I really have. You know, if you expect a 19-year-old kid, young mixed race athlete with tattoos earning money to not go through some stuff. Mate, I've done a lot of living.
Hey, how do you separate Connor from The Destroyer, and this is a two-way street from being the guy that I'm chatting to
very
now,
easily.
Is it easy? Yeah. So to being the guy that's obviously a little bit loopy in the ring, to and also then switching off and going back to being dad.
I watch the fight back and I go, I can't believe that's me. Genuinely, I watch it back. I watch my fights back and I go, how do I do that? Because it don't feel like me. Don't get me wrong, like there's a beast in there, but I don't feel like that sometimes. I feel like I'm like quite a, like I watch kids films. I watch kids films.
What,
I love
animations.
Yeah. Like I like watching kids films. My favourite programme's Couples Come Down With Me. I love The Normal. I've seen all the Couples Come Down With Me. I'm now at going to Come Down With Me. I have The Normal one. I like watching I like watching A Place in the Sun. I love watching A Place in the Sun. What else do I like? Yeah, so...
What about movies? Like, are there standout movies?
Yeah, you're talking the gangster films.
Okay.
American Gangster, Carlito's Way,
Scarface,
Goodfellas, yeah, all of that. So, those are my sort of films, but I like watching those. That's the only TV programs I watch. I like watching David Attenborough before bed because it relaxes me.
Wait until you got another dog and see if they'll let you, let you watch that. We haven't watched any wildlife programs for about 9 years. We spoke the other day about you not being mad if your son wants to box. You not necessarily pushing down that road, but you've
changed my tune definitely about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mind if my son wants to box. Like, I'm not going to stop him.
What do you think? What would you like him to get from that? Like discipline, structure, routine,
exactly,
those sort of things that you get.
Know how to hold his hands up.
Self confidence.
Burning energy, releasing.
You just want a good night's
sleep. Usually. No, so I don't mind if he fights. Or if he wants to do actually have a fight as an amateur, fine. I'm not really fine. He can do whatever he wants. We might stop him from doing whatever he wants.
Tony won't be around to train him, though.
No, I don't know. You never know how long Tony wants to be in this game for.
Well, Tony wants to see you all the way through, and vice versa, right? You want to stay with Tony all the way through your career.
I do. And when Tony's done, I'm done. When Tony's done, I'm done. I don't think I can listen to anyone else.
So you've been around and you've seen a lot of good coaches and all the rest of it. What's made Tony stand out to you? And is it anything to do with his bond that he's got with your dad?
The proof's in the pudding, number one, in terms of my career.
Yeah.
His style, his delivery, his being able to tap into an athlete, not just myself, because I don't operate like Felix or Joe. I have my own way. So his ability to do that for a fire is an art.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, going back to that, I said to Tony, oh, Connor says he wants to stay with you for the end of his career. And I thought Tony was going to say, oh, yeah, that's really nice. And, you know, I appreciate that. He basically said, quite bloody right. And he said, because he's invested a lot of time in you, which is fair, obviously. But tell me this, right, about how much you've worked behind closed doors and on what to bring you on. Like, you must have drilled stuff a crazy amount behind closed doors. The amount that you two have referred to things in chats to me about, like, where, you know, I don't know necessarily you stay late to do stuff. Maybe you have, or you've come in and done extra sessions, whatever it is.
Tony would do graveyard shifts with me. I mean, Tony's part of the reason that I made major changes to life I was living, because he's dedicated so much time he ain't gonna get back. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's anything worse than time wasted. So I ain't just had to pay off for me in terms of me for my family, but also this man that's invested so much time into me and taken me under his wing. So it was graveyard shifts, man. Just even when I wasn't fighting, so he weren't getting paid. When I broke my jaw, tore the tendon in my hand, He won't get paid. But
what are you doing in his graveyard shifts? He's not just sat on the bike, or you're not just sat on the bike.
No, he's standing there analysing everything. It even get on my nerves sometimes. Like, most of the time when I was injured and I'm frustrated or I wouldn't get it, I'd just be like, honestly, get on my nerves. Like, I know what you're trying to tell me to do, but I just can't do it. Like, just, like, let me just shadow box. Stop telling me to do that thing, because I can't do it. I do it, obviously, but in my head, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm going, mate, do you not think I'm trying to do this? Or, like, in sparring, I'll have a bad spar, and I'm trying to get this thing, and he's going, yeah, but Con, you're doing this. I'm going, mate, like, if I could do it, I'd do it.
I would have done it 50 times ago.
I would have done it. So stop going on about it. I'm going to get it. But obviously, I got it. Mate, some things have taken 3 years.
Mm.
Some things have taken... I'm only just getting off now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes I've knocked people out with shots off. That Tommy's been... the Van Herden fight. Of the whole camp preparing for a southpaw. I've done something in that fight that I've only done twice in the whole 12 weeks training camp. And I was getting frustrated. So time, mate, I just can't do it. Can't do it, mate. And then I'll go and execute it beautifully on fight night. So it's like, you know, I just listen to the man. He's the governor, really, isn't he?
You mentioned that tattoo about faith. Obviously, yeah. Tony and your dad are big faith. Into it. Yeah. And so that's now come into your life.
Yeah. I've got to a stage where it's like faith is so important to me. I believe in, I shouldn't be here. Not be here as in be alive, in terms of be where I am now. But then obviously I should have been. Do you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't make it up. No, I couldn't make up being where I am now. But I've started, you know, I have faith in, this is obviously my destiny. This is the plan. This was always meant to be my life. This was written out for me. And, you know, when things look like they're not going, so I just have faith. And really, I believe I had faith in that early on in my career. You know, when the odds were stacked against me being a successful fighter. But I obviously had faith in that I was able to be better.
Have you been to church with Tony?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Do you regularly go to church?
We've found our new church, yeah.
Have you?
Here in Brentwood. Obviously, having a baby, it's hard to go into London where he's got a church. So we go to a church around here.
Okay. Do you sing?
The songs?
Yeah.
I do sing the songs.
Can you hold a note? I'm not going to ask you to do it.
I won't sing for you. I've got to warm up the vocals.
Oh no, but that's good. And obviously, it doesn't surprise me with Tony, because obviously Tony, like he doesn't force it on anyone. But I think he has such a powerful way with it that he gives a lot of people understanding. Obviously, I know that Darren Barker obviously has been very spiritual in the past. Well, and him and Tony was there for him when he lost Gary and different things, and he's helped so many different people with that. And obviously, it's inevitable, I think, with your dad and with Tony, that you would find that way. One thing that we haven't spoken about is your mum. She doesn't get too many of the headlines. How close are you with your mum?
I'm very close to my mum. She cries almost all the time we speak. It's definitely harder for my mum to let me go. Obviously now me having a son here as well, she hasn't met my son due to COVID and not being vaccinated. So she's like, she's in bits about it, but my mum prays for me all the time, every day.
On a slightly different tact, when you first saw the Crushing It in the Gym video from the Undefeated podcast, what did you think when you first saw it?
I just thought I might actually like that. And I must be. I think I am. Do you know what? I've had people come up to me shaking and scared, going, I can't believe you're that nice. I had a woman come and interview me in the gym the other day from ITV or BBC and go to me, oh my gosh, I can't believe how nice you are. I was really scared. I'm going, mate, like, what do you think I am? What do you think I'm going to do? But then I get why I don't know, Tris, you know me. Am I like that?
You've got that switch, haven't you? And I think it's that thing, you know, when you're pumped up after a fight, you're still in that mode, aren't you? And you're saying what you say and all the rest of it. And clearly on a day like today where you chilled out.
I feel like I'm quite civil right now.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not that intense. So. I'm not intense, am I?
No, I mean, I feel like I can ask you anything, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
Did you know that clip was going to go viral when you saw it?
No, I didn't because... Well, I don't know. No, I didn't. But obviously, my intensity is amusing to people.
It's everyone's go-to greeting for you now, surely, isn't it? People got to be coming up to you. So, are you crushing it?
They get it wrong. They go, smash it. They go, smashing it in the gym. But when they say it with that tone of voice, I go, I know what you meant.
We touched upon social media. Have you been motivated by detractors or does it just piss you off?
I don't even care anymore.
No.
Because I struggled dealing with it younger. When I was younger, I struggled dealing with it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Understandable. Because when you go into this, even though we talked about you having jollies to the O2 and a nice car and all the rest of it, you don't go in there expecting to get the criticism that you get.
No, I don't.
In kind of any walk of life, really. I'm not sure that... I don't know, maybe people are coached to deal with it more and more. I feel
like people should be.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in a good way for a long time.
That makes sense, mate. It does. So, in term on a more positive note, Brooke or Khan next? Either of those? Although
a bunch of, you know, bad.
Well, the crowd didn't want Amir, right?
No, Amir's just weird geezer.
His stock's not. I mean,
I don't know. He talks. I see some interviews of him talking, and then I obviously gave him the opportunity to come and express those feelings live on TV.
Present his side.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. So it's like, okay, you're done. Finish, retire, please. Brooke, he's gone missing, so you can move, retire. Do you know what I mean? Just stop talking about me as well, do you know what I mean? Or stop getting your ticks. My team, his team, we go in, talks to my team all the time. I ain't interested. I ain't put my career on hold for you, mate.
So, Morris Hooker or Guerrero, maybe?
No. I don't want Guerrero. No chance. No way. Like, listen, at the end of the day, I know I want the Jose Ramirez, Mikey Garcia, Keith Thurman.
Danny Garcia,
I think he's moving up. So, I mean, as much as I'd like that fight, I think he's moving up to 154. Those are the names that I want. I think I'm getting a list of five opponents, if there is five, with a price tag next to them for the next hit.
What's the dream opponent for a world title and what venue? If you could fight anyone for the belt.
I would say Errol Spence or Crawford, but they're going up, so that's, you know, they'll fight and move up. I'd probably say, you guess, Thurman, Mikey Garcia, those names.
Whereabouts? Do you have a bucket list?
I'd probably say O2, man, or West Ham Stadium.
Do you want to do the Vegas thing? Do you want to do that big?
Yeah, of course, man. But do you know what? To be fair, if we could wind 5 years back, I'd probably say Kell Brook for a world title.
Yeah. Okay.
That would have been a dream. Or I mean, I don't know if it's possible. No, it ain't really a possibility because he don't know what he's doing. I think he's just cashing out. I think anyway. But that would be a dream fight, Kell Brook here for a world title.
What do you think Kell's got left?
Based on that night, quite a lot.
Mm.
But if it was just for that night, because it was Khan, it's another story.
Have you sparred Kell before?
I have, yeah.
How was that?
I think his career ended then.
Do you?
I think so, yeah.
Where was that?
Matcham Gym.
So down here?
Yeah.
That's
for the Crawford fight.
Okay. Did he come down to spar with you specifically?
I believe so.
Did you get on well with him? Do you like Kell, or is there a bit of a personality clash?
Nah, I get on with Kell. He's just in the way of the rankings. I get on with Kell, but he just needs to move. It's just business, isn't it?
Well, and now we talk about the two sides of you. You can see another side of you coming into the circus. I see fight mode. I can see fight mode. You've done it. I flipped the switch. Oh, it's good. But I can see, I fully appreciate, like, I've dragged you in here on a day where you train, you spinning a lot of plates, you've got a new dog to collect. And
all the sun's out. I've got to go get the dog, all the dog bits now in a 911. Done, I'm fit it all in there. Go get all the bits. I've then got to run, but then I also have to, I have to be at the house for 1 p.m. Mike, they're going to show me how to work the pool and the security system and all that.
First world problems they are, mate. First world problems. I wish I could relate.
They're a nice problem to have.
Yeah.
They're a problem, but they're a nice problem to have.
Well, hey, mate, I really appreciate you taking the time out. I'm glad we finally got to do this, and hopefully we'll definitely do it again down the line. But thank you very much. Appreciate it, mate.
My pleasure.
Top man.
Thank you.
So much good stuff there from Connor. It was what I hoped for and more. I thought he was top draw. As I said at the top, Connor comes across very differently on TV and in some interviews I've seen. I guess he's often in fight mode or fired up, but the contemplative and thoughtful Ben is a great interview. The interview I actually mentioned pre-Van Heerden that I did with Connor, where we talked about McClellan and more, can be found on the Rings website. Enormous thanks to Connor for that, and huge thanks to my sponsors, Hanson Lee Resourcing. They were voted the UK's best specialist insurance sector recruitment firm at the Corporate Excellence Awards. Not only do Hanson Lee continue to be proud sponsors of Boxing Life Stories, but they find you the best people and help you retain them. And you can find out more at hansonlee.com. We're also brought to you by Delco Safety Compliance, and they're a leading provider of professional fire risk assessments and safety services nationwide. They provide expert impartial advice on all aspects of fire, health and safety compliance. And you can find out more from Del and the gang at delcosafety.co.uk. Enormous thanks to Connor for that. Guys, you can support me and this podcast on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TrisDixon, where you get early access to episodes, including upcoming episodes with Chris Bird and Connor's stablemate, John Ryder. If you do have time, please go over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. And we'll be back next week.